Hello, spider folk. I'm Brian.
I'm Brian. Oh, yeah. I'm 1, 2, 3. I'm John. This is the way.
This is the way.
The way. And this is the tarantula way.
Tarantula way.
All right, welcome to the podcast. How you doing today, John?
Pretty good. Hello, hello, spider people.
How about We're back yourself? Once again from health issues and equipment issues, all the normal stuff. I now have issues. A new computer. John and I are computer twins. Computer brothers. We both have the same computer now. Yeah, so that might make us sound a little better. So lots of stuff has happened since we've been around. On a sad note, in the reptile and somewhat in the tarantula world, noted YouTuber Brian Barchek has passed away in mid-January. He died of pancreatic cancer. John and I both knew him. I didn't know him that well.
I didn't know him that well.
Yeah, but we knew him. He knew us. Brian actually recorded one of his... Snake Bites TV shows in my spider room. It's one on trying to get over his fear of tarantulas. I'm not on the camera, but I'm right off camera with him, helping him with the handling of the tarantulas and everything.
Yeah, and prior to that, he bought one of his first tarantulas from me. One of them. I don't know if it was his first one. I don't think so.
No, I think it was. Yeah, he
Oh, had, was it? Okay.
I think it was. He had one or two. I think he, but he. You know, he came to me because I could help him understand the best way to pick him up and all that kind of stuff. And he wanted to take video with all the different tarantulas that I have, show off all the pretty ones and stuff, you know, the purples and the greens and all that kind of stuff. So that was kind of a cool experience. And then, of course, he started the Reptarium, which is like a reptile kind of petting zoo and a cool place for classrooms of kids to go and learn about reptiles. It's a pretty cool place.
Yeah, and he, if nothing else, he inspired a lot of people to get into the hobby.
Yeah, he was very good for the exotic hobby, man. He got a lot of people into it, and he was a good guy for the hobby for sure. He was really into his snakes and lizards, and he was even getting into tarantulas. He purchased tarantulas from John and I for the Reptarium.
Yeah, and on his YouTube channel, you could see his enthusiasm coming through, all the time.
Yeah, he was very enthusiastic for sure.
Yeah, very. Yeah.
Yeah, we knew Brian way back when he was he did a little he had a few snakes and he did a reptile show in Livonia, Michigan. It was the Livonia show. It was really small.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a table there. He was a young kid, and then basically he got known for his breeding because he spent some money and bought some piebald snakes.
I don't want to misquote, say the wrong thing. I don't know exactly what.
I know he got in on that really early. That's how he kind of got his business so huge, because he bred those ball pythons that everybody wanted. They were brand new at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he invested in it. I remember at the show, him talking about it with John and Shar and stuff. So it was it was just wild. And I didn't see him at the shows anymore, but I hear, he's got this huge collection now. He's doing a lot of breeding, and people were selling his stuff, his babies at the show that he was breeding. So it was kind of cool. And then he really got big with the Snake Bites TV. He jumped in on YouTube pretty early on. Yes?
Yes.
Any other anecdotes about Brian Barchek?
No. No, just, rest in peace. You'll be missed.
Yep.
But I do have some news that, Brian probably would have been all over about this and related news. He was into snakes a lot. What he was most known for. And actually, they are, and you know how everything in the taxonomic world is forever changing. So the largest snake, at least the heaviest snake species in the world, it's now being split into two distinct species, rather than as they thought it was all one species, the green anaconda.
Right.
They are, I guess they were filming a National Geographic series with no other than Will Smith. Really? And they discovered that they did genetic testing on these snakes because they noticed that the ones in the northern part of the range were, I guess, a lot larger, and they discovered that they were two separate species. So they've renamed one of them. They split them in two. So
they're both green anacondas, but they're just separate species.
One is an, I guess. And again, you know how everything in taxonomy is tentatively. So as for right now, they're calling the one the northern green anaconda. And the species name, I guess I'm going to try my best here. Eunectes acaima. Before they were all known as Marinus. I think the southern one, I think, is going to stay Marinus, is what I believe. But this is all like just been reported. So yeah, genetically they're significantly different, and yeah, they discovered that while filming with Will Smith. I wonder did the snakes know to keep his wife's name out of their mouth?
Keep my snake's name out your motherfucking mouth. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. I was waiting for a break in there to say.
So. There's my bit of non-spider related news.
All right, well, there you go. Some reptile news for the memory of Brian Barczyk. How's that? And now in the spider news, I had some more stories that were a little better, but we'll have to get to those next time because I can't find them. But this one,
so stay tuned.
Yeah. So this one is kind of funny though. Tarantula crossing the road blamed for crash that sent Canadian motorcyclist to the hospital.
Was it? Wait,
horse
okay.
Spiders get blamed for everything.
So this wasn't in Canada, I'm assuming.
No. A tarantula crossing the road in Death Valley National Park caused a traffic crash that sent the Canadian motorcyclist to the hospital. The Swiss travelers driving a rented camper van.
Wait. Were they Swiss or Canadian?
No. There was some Swiss travelers driving a rented camper van. Okay. They braked suddenly to avoid hitting a tarantula as it crossed Route 190. And then a 24-year-old motorcyclist then struck the back of the camper van.
So all of this happened in the USA, and they were Swiss and Canadian. So, yes. I mean, so basically a tarantula is trying to start like World War III.
Yeah.
We had a major...
They both come from places that don't have tarantulas.
Tarantulas, right.
Supposed to look like some sort of monster to them. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty funny because you got the Swiss and the Canadians all mad at our California spiders.
We get a couple more countries represented. We'd have a NATO meeting.
For sure. So I thought that one was pretty funny. And then this one is really ridiculous. Body lotion accused of attracting giant spiders goes viral.
And I'm sure that I've heard this. But yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So the brand Sephora makes a body lotion or two that people are saying
that brand's pretty pricey, correct?
I believe it is. I think they sell it at one of those I think they sell it like Kohl's and one of those fancy makeup stores for women or men.
I was about to say now. Wait a minute.
So I think somebody left a review about it. Yeah. Yeah. It started when a person wrote a review about the product, which retails between $22 to $48 online. If you're scared of wolf spiders, watch out. These lotions, I wanted to love them so bad, but one of the ingredients is like, when I put it on, instantly a spider will come out. Normally I see like, oh yeah. So every time they put it on, they see spiders. I stopped using it.
Oh, does it only work with the one particular wolf spider species or no?
She didn't say that. I think so. She said, oh, and the one time the spider wanted to eat whatever ingredient it is was so bad, it chased me. I swear on everything. I run left, it ran left. I run right, it ran right.
You
Like it
know,
was legit following the scent.
it, you know, if for that price that you just said, I mean, that'd be worth it for me to invest in it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Go to Venezuela or somewhere, Colombia.
Well, if they just magically appear, I mean, I might just be able to put them on in my house, and spiders just, I'll be like the Pied Piper, you know, just walk around with spiders following me. I could
Right,
go into people's houses and just have their spiders all follow me out. I can charge lots of money, and then I can collect cool spiders too. Win-win, everybody wins.
This is why I guess this was a big thing on Reddit, and then one Reddit person said that the cream contains farsenol acetate. Anyways, they said that, and there's a chance that spiders could be attracted to it, like some sort of pheromone.
Again, I think that this could have some practical applications in our hobby.
That's what I was thinking too. But then the company wrote back saying that none of those chemicals are in their products. And then where's it at? Someone with the brain actually said, "There's no way this is going to happen."
I don't know. I think it's if we can find out some more information, I think it's at least worth a test run. I think, Brian, I think that you should volunteer to order some and see what happens.
Right?
And we'll do.
No, it's already been debunked. It's already been debunked. The company says that not present in any of their body lotions.
Well, of course, the company's gonna say that. I mean, come on.
This was made up rumor based on one Sephora user's review. The reviewer goes by Sephora username Chemcat. So it was all just a farce.
So you believe the company? I see.
No, this reviewer says she'd been wearing it for days and not seen one spider.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, so it was just, one of those things where everything went viral. And then the next story kind of goes right into that because the headline is Spiders Are Caught in a Global Web of Misinformation. And this is by Oliver Huang, and it's from the New York Times. So it says, we live in a world filled with spiders and fear of spiders. Catherine Scott, an arachnologist at McGill University, is familiar with the bad rap spiders get. When she tells people what she does, she often is presented with a story about that one time a spider bit me. Yeah, we know that well, don't we?
Okay.
In a few minutes.
Yep.
All right. Sheesh. Three, two, one. So Catherine Scott, an arachnologist from McGill University, is familiar with the bad rap spiders get. We sure know about that. Mm-hmm. When she tells people what she does, she often is presented with a story about that one time a spider bit me. The thing is, she said, we know that well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is that you don't see a crushed up spider near you or see one on your body. It's likely that the bite mark on your skin came from something else. There are more than 50,000 unknown species of spiders in the world, and only a few can harm humans. And people just don't seem to understand that.
And they won't believe you. They won't accept you. They accept what you say.
No, if somebody I don't know says, I'm bringing Brian over with me. They're like, oh, is that the guy with all the spider? He's not going to bring any spiders over, is he? Like I walk around with spiders in my pockets and shit.
But I'll have people that'll blame things on spiders, and it'll be like mosquito bites, or one person even had bed bugs and they were blaming it on spiders, spiders, spiders. And I kept saying, it's like, I don't know about that.
Yep.
Spiders they have really no reason to bite you.
right. I mean, I can see if you accidentally roll over on one when you're sleeping or something like that, but then, but people put out rumors like you swallow three spiders a year while you're sleeping and stuff. That's so stupid. It's not even true. Not even close to being true. It turns out that these fears and misunderstanding of our eight-legged friends are reflected in the news. Recently, more than 60 researchers from around the world, including Dr. Scott, collected 5,348 news stories about spider bites, published online through 2010, from 2010 through 2020, from 81 countries in 40 languages. They read through each story, noting whether any had factual errors or emotionally fraught language. The percentage of articles that they rated sensationalistic, 43%. The percentage of articles that had factual errors, 47%. So basically what they're saying is news stories and stupid stories from people that you know and medical professionals, you know, wrongly saying that your bite is from a spider. They always say, oh, it's a brown recluse and stuff like that. Is a big problem with why we have such fears of spiders and stuff.
And normally I would say that the people listening, that we were kind of preaching to the choir, and that the people listening to our podcast probably aren't like that. But unfortunately, some of them are, because I get those stories when I'm talking to tarantula people as well.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, people are always got crazy stories about spiders, and most of them aren't true.
But it sometimes comes from people that you expect would think, you know better.
Yeah. They say that Australia has, a lot of the stories from Australia are pretty true. And they have a lot of dangerous spiders. You know, so they don't have quite that problem there. But, you know, in the UK, they've had to close schools many times because of reports of false black widows in Britain. There was a big scare about these spiders. They were trying to say that they were deadly or something, but they're false widows. They're not even black widows. And even black widows aren't as bad as people make them out to be.
I would have been dead so long ago. Oh, I have so many false widows. Like, you remember when a vendor gave us false widows, and mine had so many egg sacs that I put it in my shed, and I didn't realize it was going to overwinter, and now my shed is full of false widows, like big ones.
And at the end of the story, they had this one in big letters, and I really like this one a lot because I'm so sick of hearing this. Says species, Laxoscalesis reclusa. Claim, a U.S. paper reported that a man in Milwaukee had to have infected flesh removed after a brown recluse bite.
You're talking about a brown recluse. You just like butchered the genus name. That's all.
Yes. What's the genus name?
Now you want me to butcher it worse.
Laxoscalesis? Yep. I don't know.
We'll move along. L. reclusa.
Yeah, reclusa. Anyways, the claim, a U.S. paper reported that a man in Milwaukee had to have infected flesh removed from a brown recluse bite. Fact, Milwaukee is outside the recluse's range, and its venom does not cause infections. Thank you very much. I'm so sick of hearing all these stories about brown recluses. That's a bunch of bull puppies.
Well, okay, so I might, and I hate to try to say I'm taking the side of the, you know, the sensationalist that reported it, but... Anything that pierces your skin can lead to infection.
Right, but they're saying that their venom does not. In this case, if your flesh is being removed because of it, you know, it's like flesh eating something eating away. They're saying that it's causing it, that the venom is causing an infection. I'm sure they'd be able to determine whether it was caused by the venom or by, you know, because you didn't take care of it. A week after you got bit and it still looked like shit. I'm guessing.
Well. That's been reported, and I'm definitely not any expert on venoms and stuff, but from what I understand, that the venom is of that particular species can have cause necrosis, which is the dying of your skin and flesh. But I don't know how, you know, potent or severe it would be.
Now I have to dive into that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to have to look into that.
But yeah, anything that pierces your skin could introduce bacteria. Like you say, if you didn't take care of it.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Drag it through the mud and wipe your butt with it, and it's going to get infected.
Only you.
Only me? What?
I'll wipe your butt with it.
I wouldn't do that. Just people are stupid, you know. Never, ever. Okay, so today we are going to talk more about that's all for spider news.
Oh.
We're going to talk more about frequently asked questions. I always see questions more than anything on the internet. Questions and pictures of my spider.
What time is the game coming up? What's the weather going to be like? Frequently asked questions.
Right. So did you pick out some questions, John?
I just asked two. You mean I was supposed to do that?
Spider related.
I have a couple in mind.
And then after this, we'll get to our unhelpful guide on spiders. And this week is going to be John's favorite spider. So stay tuned for that. Okay, so here's a question for you. My spider passed away today. How do I preserve the body?
Oh, God.
John?
I say ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I mean, I'm sure it probably wouldn't cost much to get it cremated, get a nice urn. You know, an urn would be small.
Right. So. A thimble.
Right.
Put the top on it.
For me, that would be my response. So I don't know. What do you say, Brian?
Well, it depends on why you want to preserve it. If you want to preserve it so you can keep looking at it all the time, a jar of 90% alcohol will work really good.
But eventually, doesn't that alter the color of it?
Yeah, it will. Yeah, if it's like a blue spider or a pretty spider, it will alter the color of it. But I mean, like if you have a big jar and a couple bottles of alcohol and a dead Goliath bird eater, though, it's brown anyways. But they last quite a while in there. They don't last forever. They do slowly deteriorate, but I mean, it takes years and years and years. And then for other reasons, you can freeze it for later use, or you can take it to a taxidermist. They can actually stuff it and mount it. I actually have a couple mounts from a guy who used to come and get my dead spiders. He won prizes with the spider mounts that he made, and then he just gave me the mount because I gave him the spider for free. So, I mean, how much can you charge for a dead spider?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure some of the stores around here have information on that.
Yeah.
Since I've seen them selling dead tarantulas.
Check your local pet stores.
All right.
That's not nice. Now we're giving pet stores a bad rap, but they give themselves a bad rap. So
no, I said some. I
didn't some, say yeah, all. Not all for sure, not all.
No, I said
mostly
some.
Big chains.
I didn't even specify that, but sure.
I did. They deserve it.
I said I've seen it. I mean, and a lot of times, they're living things. Things die, and maybe they didn't see it yet. Now, when you tell dead, and then they tell you it's molting, and then you come back a week later, and they put crickets
it's
in there,
still molting.
And it's still molting. Now, I think they deserve a bear. I think living
right.
Die. So that's
right. Exactly.
That can't be helped.
So you got a question?
The most commonly asked question that I see every time I go onto Reddit or anything like that is my enclosure okay? So that's like the biggest thing. And I don't really know how to answer that question in general. So I don't know if this is, because it's a case by case basis, but that's the most common thing that I see is, and people post pictures. And so honestly, maybe this was a topic we should say for a broader, larger discussion, but as far as going over the basics.
We have done an episode on enclosures. I think it's like our fifth episode, but it's pretty early on, and we could probably. We could probably use to redo that one.
Yeah, if you'd like to go back and listen to it, it'd be great. Or
But all it has
also,
all the basics in it, but I mean I'd probably want to redo that at some point and update it.
yeah, I say it's time enough to revisit it because I
Yeah.
still see the question so much.
Yeah. Well, if we had more listeners, we probably have less people asking that question. But
I
there's
mean,
three people that don't have to answer that question anymore.
exactly. You three people should consider yourselves ahead of the game.
Right.
That goes for you, Mom.
All right, John. So my pink toe tarantula has an egg sac. What should I do, and how do I care of take care of them?
Well, quit your job. You're going to be rich. I
But you're going to be a very busy mom.
You just struck oil.
Yeah.
No. Well, what should they do, Brian?
Well, if you're a super novice, if you're super new, if you're a real newbie, I would find somebody that knows what they're doing. I would try to find somebody and get it to them and have them help you out with it. That's the best thing to do. But if you've been keeping tarantulas a little while, it's not too hard to hatch an egg sac. The mom does most of the work. You
I
leave it
was going
with
to
her.
say, in
Just
the
get
if
the
it's a
mom and do it.
if it's in the case, especially of a pink toe, I mean the next option, besides contacting someone who knows what they're doing is leave.
What's that?
It's a pink toe, leave it with the mom. That's the next probably best
Yeah,
thing that
just
could
leave it
happen.
with the mom and they'll all come out and then you don't need to do nothing until they turn the second instar and then you just got to separate them all and you don't even have you don't have to like hurry about it.
With a pink toe. Now there's other species that
Yeah, with a pink toe. Yes, yeah, so you can leave the babies together with mom for quite a while. It gives you time to do whatever you got to do or find somebody to take them off your hands or whatever. But pink toes are really mellow and gentle, so you wouldn't have no problems going in there and getting the babies out. Mom's not gonna like protect them once they're second instar. She wants them gone.
What I will say though, and I speak from experience, is make sure that your enclosure, if you're going to do that, make sure your enclosure is escape proof for even the tiniest spiderlings, because
Oh yeah, they can push their way through very small crevices.
I speak from experience.
Yeah, me too, with OBTs.
Mine was calciatum, so and
Yeah, see, we both had African stuff all over the place.
I'm still waiting for like this monster calciatum to appear that's been magically surviving in my basement.
What was that guy's
Oh,
name? What was that local guy's name? Michael something. What was his name? Michael something. He had OBTs all over his house, baby OBTs. He was finding them for months. They all got out on him. Taranakai murinus, for those who don't know what OBT is.
the vast majority of my Stromatopelma calciatums got out as well. So,
Yeah, you were finding those all over for a while too. Every
yeah,
time I talk to you, you're like, "Hey, I found another one."
I found another one. They get in the darndest places too. You think, like,
Have
you
any other
go
questions?
to, so I see again. So some of the questions that I see frequently asked, I don't know that it would be, how well we can address them on a podcast without visual aids. But I see a frequently asked question is, well, this one you can is my tarantula molting? I see that one a lot.
Yeah, right.
I mean, and for the most part, if you just go by the average textbook molt, then your tarantula is molting when you see it laying on its back. You go textbook. Doesn't always happen that way,
Right, yeah.
but textbook, if it's laying on its back and it's not curled up, balled under, it's probably
Right.
molting.
But
Is it safe
if
bet?
it's molting for more than a day, it's probably not molting.
And even that is, even there's exceptions to that one too.
Sure, there are exceptions for the most part. Even with the largest spiders, though, they get it done within, you know, 4 to 8 hours.
I had a grandma stole a grosser that was more like 48 hours.
All right,
And
well,
she
they do
came out
everything slow,
fine.
but that's a little weird.
Yeah. She came out fine.
That is a little weird. They grow slow, they do everything slow, but geez.
Well, she
That's
was
kind
a
of
big
slow.
one of the biggest ones I'd ever seen, but yeah, she was like seriously like 48 hours.
A lot of times if there's takes that long, there's some sort of problem. And they may not come out of it.
Yeah, usually.
And they're stuck in it or something, but that's cool she got out of that one. All right, let's see. My tarantula has started rubbing her fangs together, up and down, and sometimes in and out. She doesn't look in pain or anything, but this is a but is this a type of bathing? Oh, this is a type of bathing, right? She just cleaning herself, similar to how jumpers preen their feet. Please let me know. Just want to make sure. So what do you think? Taking a bath?
I mean, probably.
My first question is it sad? Was it Saturday?
Probably.
I don't know how many people will get that question.
I didn't even get it. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, they're probably just cleaning themselves. That's what it looks like to me. They do that a lot after eating, I've noticed. Anything from you, John? On that question?
Oh, on that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I don't think I've
just
noticed
normal,
anything.
Just normal tarantula behavior. They're just doing
Yeah,
tarantula stuff.
doing tarantula things.
Yeah, just doing tarantula stuff. Okay, as I ask this, it seems like a strange question, but when a tea dies, does it decay or should there be some remains similar to a molt? I thought that was kind of funny.
I mean, it just doesn't vaporize. There should be some remains. Now, even if it's small, I mean,
right. Well, even like I've had
finding
spiders.
It sometimes, finding it sometimes is difficult.
Right. And I've had a spider die and not find it right away. And then it was like summertime and I had some, you know, little flies down here and they got into the spider and ate up all its inners. They laid babies and the babies ate it all up. So basically it was just like a molt left. It was just like the exoskeleton. Everything was gone. So,
well,
yeah.
It would be remains.
But it can't just disappear. If it disappeared, it's not dead. It's loose.
No. Yeah, there'll be remains. Now, sometimes if it's a very small tarantula, then like a spiderling, a very small spiderling, it
like
can be difficult to find sometimes.
Sure. And even, yeah. And a spiderling, I mean, I don't know. If you had a fly problem, that actually might disappear. I don't know if you'd be able to see like a tiny little carapace left on the ground or something.
I mean, you'd have to not pay attention to it for a while still for it to totally disappear from flies. They have a life cycle.
Right. I know,
I
but they're
mean,
small. If the maggots hatch, they devour everything, and babies' exoskeletons are softer. And
yeah, but then you'd see pupae in the
well,
fly.
Yeah, you'd see that. Yeah, you'd see that for sure. That would still be there. You'd see them, but you might not see the carcass of the baby spider just because they're soft and not
the
not
pupae
very
didn't
hard yet.
The pupae didn't eat and develop on nothing. So you know, right there, there's your clue if that happened. But I think you'd have to. Yeah, you'd have
right,
to.
Exactly. You'd find maggots in there for sure. But I mean, that's it. It's the only way I could think of something disappearing. You know what I mean? Other than escaping.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of any other reason it could disappear.
Yeah,
completely.
I thought those were some unique questions.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I have.
No more questions from you?
Not really. The
All
other
right.
one, the other frequently one I see all the time involves sexing, and I just don't know that this. I think it's a little beyond the scope of a podcast to be able to tell somebody how to do this.
No, but I'm glad you brought it up because really, people taking a picture and posting it up, and trying to ask, is this a male or female? On rare occasions, it's really obvious on certain spiders. You know, if you get the right spider and you get the right angle on the picture, you could probably accurately do it through a picture. But 100% through a bolt, you can get it with a microscope or a magnifying glass or just your eyeballs on larger spiders. With a molt, you can see it, and it's 100%. With pictures and people guessing, I mean, you're going to get arguments back and forth with people, and you know, you're going to get people saying it's both things, and it's just not a good way to do it, and it's not accurate. Vent sexing is not accurate, but it's even way less accurate when you do it on a picture on social media.
Well, yeah, so what I've found about sexing tarantulas, it helps for me to be able to move it, to move the angle. And so when you're taking it and making a 2D image on some very, like you say, on some big ones or easy ones, some of them are easy.
Sure, some of them are easy, but even the species that are easy, you'll come across one.
No,
like, I'm just not sure.
Venture. Not necessarily just a species, but I'm just saying even on a case-by-case, an individual-by-individual basis, some of them are easier than others.
Sure,
some of them
yeah,
are
yeah.
just, you know, it's just, you can just tell for whatever reason, some of them are easier, but some of them, it helps. Well, it helps with all of them to be able to move it and to, you know, look at it from a different angle. And when you're taking this and you're turning it into a 2D image, a lot of times it's not, I can know what the sex of a tarantula is and take a 2D picture and then sometimes look at it underneath and it's not. It doesn't look the same, you know, in
right,
that 2D
yeah.
picture.
Yeah, well, you gotta be able to move it so you can change the lighting on it, basically, the way the light's reflecting off of it. I mean, you gotta, yeah, so you can see.
I think the angle is important, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, well, the angle changes the light and your perspective of how you're seeing it. So, yeah, you gotta, yeah, it's seeing it in person and seeing it in a picture is always, like, so different.
Yeah, and then, like you said, eventually sexing tarantulas, I won't say it's not accurate, it's not 100%, but you know, if you with experience, and then with some individuals it's difficult, and some of them look, you know, can look one way or another without a whole bunch of experience, because I know that sometimes the penultimate molt before with males, sometimes that the fuselage spot looks larger to the point where sometimes if you didn't know any better, you would think it wasn't there, when actually it's just become so big that sometimes it looks like it's taken up the whole area.
Oh, the and whole so, area, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With yeah. certain species, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. But yeah, so please just don't ask people to sex your ventral shots on social media. It's just a waste of time. You're not going to get any accurate stuff out of that. It's best to just check the molt or find somebody in person who knows how to do it ventrally, and you know, you're going to get a better percentage of being right.
I don't know if I would go so far as to say I agree with you, you know, but I wouldn't know if I would go so far as to say don't ask, but I would definitely caution you to take any response with a grain of salt, for sure.
Okay, well, yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean, though. It's kind of a waste of time, because you're going to get responses on both ends. So.
Well, I mean, but sometimes, you know that sometimes you'll see a picture of a, especially if it's like a male, and you see the fuselage there, and it's 100%. Like if it's a picture of a Theraphosa,
right.
It's a 6-inch immature male Theraphosa, you're good. And then you see that spot there, you know.
Yeah, right. For something that big, I mean, yeah, the
right.
big spiders, usually it's pretty obvious. Even Zanestis and Theraphosa and stuff like that, Pamphlobedias, they're pretty easy to see most times. There's exceptions, but most of the time you can see it. And then, I mean, with Pamphlobedias, you just got to wait till they get a little size on them, and the males start to show a lot of color on their bodies right away. And that's a big indicator right there. So some are really easy, but most are not.
Right.
And most of the ones that people are taking pictures of and putting on social media are not the easy ones. So.
And they're not usually very good pictures, to be honest.
Right, and they're always terrible pictures, and the wrong spot or blurry or, yeah.
Glare.
Right, it's terrible. I hate it. Because I can do it. I can sex it, but geez, not with that picture.
Glare, yes.
Pictures just don't look good.
It's basically like taking a picture of a human and taking a picture of their pinky finger and be like, is this a male or a female?
Right. Exactly.
I don't
Right. And a lot of
know.
people, newbies, they take a picture of the top side of the tarantula. So is this a male, boy or a girl? You got to look under the skirt, son. Yeah, so.
Did you ask the tarantula?
Right.
How do they
How do they identify? That's right. What are
identify?
your pronouns? All
So
right.
yeah.
Moving right along. So now we're into our unhelpful guide to tarantulas. And today we are looking at Davis fasciatus,
Davis.
formerly known as Cyclosternium, fasciatus, formerly
Or
known
Prince.
as Metru.
Or Prince.
Or Prince.
formerly known as Prince.
And I think there was another one. Oh, yeah. And also formerly known as, and this was in 2003, which I thought was weird. And I don't know how to say this. Neiscnocolus.
Don't remember that. When
Niche.
did that happen?
Niche Knackless.
Yeah, when did that
Triacusis.
happen? I don't remember that one.
2003.
Wow, I don't remember that one at all.
Okay, so yeah, so in 1829 was the first time it was described by O. Pickard, and it was Davis fasciatus. And then 1889, it was looked at again in Davis fasciatus. And then in 1882, Valerio looked at it and called it Cyclosternum. Then he looked at it again in 1882 and called it the Metriopelma. Then Smith looked at it in 1986 and said Cyclosternum fasciatus. And then again in 87, it's listed. And 89, it's still fasciatus. In 96, it's Metriopelma again. 99, it's Metriopelma still. And then 2000, Peters put it at Davis fasciatus all the way to 2003. And then Schmidt decided it was the weird name. But then he changed his mind in 2005. And then Gabriel in 2016 is the last one. And it says that it's Davis fasciatus.
Until
So.
the next time.
Right.
Until the next
I don't
time.
know. It's been close to 10 years now. It's been 8 years and it's still.
Oh, that first patch, that one of those patches went from the 1800s to pretty much. So, until the next time.
Yep. It was 1982, not 1892.
Oh.
For when the word was said, cyclist
Oh.
fasciatus.
Oh, okay. I was saying the one name lasted a long time. I guess it didn't, but
No, yeah, it did. It was from 1890. Yeah, from 1899 until 1982.
oh, that's a long time.
Yeah, that's a
Yeah,
long
that's what
time.
I yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but I thought I said 1882. It was 1892 at that point.
No, still a long time.
So,
So,
and going down the list here, what's next?
oh, where is it from?
Right. Yeah. Where is it from? Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, yes. What's his habitat in Costa Rica? I don't
They live
know.
most of their lives in webs.
Yeah, they do.
Or
They
burrow.
are.
They're known for burrowing for long periods of time too, but they're usually spend most of their time spinning webs in long grasses and bushes and stuff like that.
Yeah, they do like to make webs, at least in captivity. I've
Yeah.
never seen them in their native Costa Rica.
No,
But
unfortunately, no.
no, I
I
would
see
love to.
video of them in their native Costa Rica, but.
Yeah, they make webs. And as far as care goes, pretty much, standard tarantula care. I don't think anything,
Yeah, they don't need a
they're
big cage. They're not a large
no.
tarantula. They only
No,
get
they
about four and
oh
a half
yeah. About
inches.
4 inches, yeah.
Yeah,
About
four
four
and a half
inches.
inches. And then yeah, they've got the fasciatus has got the largest leg span in its genus. And
And
then
that's still not long.
right, and it's still not very big.
Oh,
And what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so you don't need a large cage, but you want something that you can put somewhat deep substrate in because they do like to burrow. They don't have to burrow, but they do like to do it from time to time. And then you know, enough room for them to make webs and some stuff to them to make web points to start webs on and make it because they'll make a nice big web and it looks pretty cool.
And I bred this species successfully once, and I found some very, 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 very limited notes that I took. the male was really small. I mean, it was like small even for other males that I've seen of that species before. Yeah, it was very small. And the breeding went straightforward. He survived it. Subsequently just died of, you know, old age. Egg sac came, says here, like 4 months afterwards. And I got 132
cool.
out of it.
Cool. I bred them, and I say successfully because I saw eggs with legs, but unfortunately when I saw them, the mom was eating the egg sac.
Oh.
So I did breed them, but it's not on my list because I didn't get actually any babies because the mom ate everything.
I hate that. I hate that.
I've only
seen it happening once. I caught it happening once with Laziadora difficilis, and I was able to get like a handful of them from her. And
yeah,
then,
I was gonna
you
say
know,
at least that's big enough where you can maybe save some of them. And,
only four of them.
Enzymes didn't get on them. Oh,
only four of them. I think I got like 20 away from her, but only four of them survived.
Yeah, gee, that's terrible, man. That's such a tiny egg sac. I couldn't get. I got, you know, I got some away from her or whatever, but none of them survived. It was sad.
Yeah, that is.
Unfortunately, not the only time it happened.
Yeah, the spiderlings. They're small, but they're not as small as you would think.
They're not the smallest. Yeah,
right, right. They're small. Yeah, they're small, but there are smaller tarantulas. They're smaller spiderlings. You know, considering the size of the adult.
Yeah.
You'd expect them. I was expecting them to be like microscopic, but yeah. And as far as keeping them, as far as beginner, I would say it's a I'd say it's a beginner tarantula. I'd say you could be for sure.
They're easy to take care of.
Yeah, I don't see anything with them. They're not
super dangerous or anything like that.
They don't pose any type of challenges that I can think of.
No, and they're super colorful. I definitely recommend them. They got nice orange, big fat orange butts on them, kind of like the pumpkin patch spiders, and it's like the original pumpkin patch spider, really, because before we had those before the pumpkin patch were around.
Yeah, and are they? How about availability? Are they commonly available right now or no?
They're available. They're not as common as they used to be, but you can find them fairly easily, I think. I've seen them on lists and stuff when I was doing research on them for this.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so they're around. They're just not as abundant as they used to be, but they are around.
But if you find one, I think it's well worth checking it out.
Oh, yeah, recommended for sure. Good species. It was a fun species to keep.
Yeah.
I always liked them. The webs are cool. They make really cool webs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so anything else, man?
No, that's about it.
All right, guys. Thanks for checking out the Tarantula Way podcast. I'm Brian.
This has been John.
And this is the
this
way.
This is the way.
See ya.